This morning, we are once again privileged to take part in the communion service. The communion service is something, of course, that Jesus himself has implemented. Jesus has given to us. In the time of Jesus, he gathered his disciples together in the upper room, and together they celebrated at the beginning of the evening the Passover service. But by the time the evening had ended, he had indicated to them and had provided to them a replacement service called, as we call it, the Lord's Supper, or the communion service. Passover was a service that the Jewish people used to look forward to deliverance that would come by the Lamb of God. The communion service is a service that we participate in as we remember backward what the Lamb of God has done. And so today, I want to share a few thoughts with you regarding the Lord's Supper. The title we've selected today in your bulletin is very simple. It simply says, "The Lord's Supper is." And I hope that as we study together in our short time together, we will have a little more understanding about what the Lord's Supper truly is. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me as I pray. We want the Lord's blessing as we study. And so I pray that you would just take this moment, connecting your heart with God as I pray. Heavenly Father, we are privileged to be in your presence and especially blessed to have your word, the Bible, before us. And so today we ask that as we open its sacred pages, that you would speak to us. As we give consideration to this service, the communion service, the Lord's Supper, I pray, Father, that we would understand a little bit about what you have given us here. We would know it and know you a little better because we've been together today. We ask these things and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. A little girl needed a blood transfusion. She was quite ill. The doctor explained that she had the same disease that her brother had recovered from just 2 short years earlier. And as they considered and weighed out her sickness and her disease, they understood and realized that her only chance for recovery was from a transfusion from someone that had actually previously conquered the same disease. And since the two children, brother and sister, had the same very rare blood type, the little boy was the ideal donor. And so as the doctor consulted with the family, and there in that consulting room in the doctor's clinic, in the office, the physician turned and looked at little Johnny and he said, "Will you give your blood to Mary?" Johnny hesitated. Obvious his mind was working. He looked down and stared into his lap. And for quite some time didn't say anything, and the doctor could see that his lower lip started to quiver and tremble. And then lifting his head with a determined and resolute look on his face, he said, "Yes, I will for my sister." Soon the children were prepared, and they were wheeled into a special hospital room. Mary, thin and pale, experiencing the effects of her disease on her body. Johnny, now healed from his time of sickness, robust and healthy and strong as a young boy. But neither of them spoke as they were wheeled together into this room. When their eyes met, Johnny gave a little grin. The nurse inserted the needle into Johnny's arm, and pretty soon his smile faded away. He watched the blood flow out of his body through that tube. And after some time, when from the doctor's perspective the ordeal was almost over, Johnny's voice, quite shaky and not quite as robust as before, broke the silence. "Doctor, when will I die?" It was only then that the doctor realized why Johnny had hesitated in the office. It was only then why he knew that the little lip had quivered and why there was such a long time looking into his lap when he agreed to donate his blood. You see, little Johnny had thought that giving his blood to his sister meant giving every last drop of it. Giving all his blood to his sister. Giving up his very life. And in that brief moment, while he was staring at his lap and the little lip quivered, Johnny made his great decision. He would be willing to give up all of his blood, all of his life, so that the life of his sister could be saved. It's a remarkable story that points us to the love that can be experienced between two people. And as we compare such a story with the life record, the biblical record of salvation, it was our Savior Jesus Christ who was willing to do exactly the same thing for each one of us, not just for one, but for the entire world. The Bible tells us, however, that Jesus did not only die for us, he did not only give his blood for us, but he then went to the grave, was buried for us, he rose from the grave for us, and he ascended back to heaven, and today continues living, continues interceding for us right now. And before he went back to heaven, Jesus instituted a service called the Lord's Supper so that we in our busy lives, so that we in our lives surrounded by things and distractions of the world would never ever forget, we would never lose the amazing truth that Jesus was willing to give all his life and blood for us. And so we ask the question, what is the Lord's Supper? And we answer that question today. The Word of God shares with us several things about the Lord's Supper, which we commonly call the communion service, that it would be good for us to know and review and remember today. And perhaps in our midst we have different faith persuasions or different perspectives or religious backgrounds. But as we gather together today, we seek one answer, and that is God's. We seek one position, and that is the Lord's, and the biblical understanding of what God has given to us in the Lord's Supper and in this communion service that we celebrate here this morning. It's a sacred service. It's a special time. God has given it to us himself. The first consideration that I would like to share with you this morning in answer to the question of what is the Lord's Supper is this. The Lord's Supper is a time of self-examination. Communion is the time when believers in Jesus Christ should be taking the spiritual pulse, finding out and realizing where we are on the journey of faith, where we stand in relationship to God. The Lord's Supper is a time of spiritual self-examination. The scriptural principle of looking within and personally examining ourselves finds support throughout the Bible. The Apostle Paul in that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is the chapter that discusses in one section the communion service as Paul was teaching the New Testament believers about it, he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." But you see that before the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup comes the consideration of examination, looking within. The believers at Corinth, to whom Paul was here writing in this letter, they had been neglectful of this very important consideration of self-examination. And they were being counseled by the apostle through his letter to pay more attention to that important step as they were coming and gathering at the communion table. For the Corinthians, without self-examination, the Lord's Supper was losing its meaning. And Paul didn't want that to happen in the life of any believer. And so he wrote them of the importance of this examination. It is in his next letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul hasn't let up on this consideration of looking within and examining ourselves. Paul reminds them of the spiritual examination in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, when he wrote these words. "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves." in each of us, so that our participation in the Lord's Supper will truly be a meaningful experience, we are called to check and to see if we fully grasp the meaning of the sacred emblems that are here on the table before us. Each of us gathered in the presence of the Lord today should make sure that all things are right between us and our Lord. As the old hymn says, let nothing be between us and our Savior, us and our Master. But you know, the examination experience goes beyond the experience we have vertically from ourselves and our hearts to Jesus Christ. Because truly the communion service, when you see Jesus sharing it, he did not share it with just himself and God. He shared it with a group of believers, a group of followers of him, his disciples. And so truly, while it is a time for self-examination in relation to how I am relating to God, whether or not I am truly in the faith, it becomes an opportunity for us to look within as well and to see if there is need of examination in relation to how I am relating to my brother or my sister. It is an opportunity. Because it is a time of self-examination, it becomes a God-given opportunity for reconciliation. Making right that which has come between us. Removing obstacles that have separated us from God, but really us from one another as well. If we have something between us and a brother or us and a sister, it is very difficult to come and say, God, there's nothing between you and me. Because if we truly will have nothing between us and Jesus, we cannot be one who allows there to be something between us and another of God's children. And so God calls us to examine ourselves and to see whether we are in the faith. And sometimes knowing that our hearts are deceptive and, as the scripture calls them, desperately wicked, we're going to need a little help with that. And David understood that. And so in Psalm 26, verse 2, David wrote, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. You know, God has a way of letting us know what's going on inside. God has a way of letting us know that we may need a little turn to the right or a little turn to the left. God has a way through the power of the Holy Spirit of bringing conviction to our heart and letting us know that we got to deal with that little issue that's standing between us and our Master, or that issue that's there between us and our brother or our sister across the aisle. Such a prayer as David prayed is probably one that we can pray too. Examine me, Lord. We might add to it and fill me in, so that I can make it right. The first consideration is that the communion service is a time of self-examination. The second consideration today, the Lord's Supper is a commemoration. As we participate in the communion service, our minds without question will go back to Calvary. We remember there on that cross, on that hill, a lonely place, on a dark afternoon where Jesus laid down his life and spilled his blood and gave his body, there was paid the price for our redemption. Isaiah wrote the words some 600 or so years before the time of Christ when he said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, this was the sacrifice that he made for us. Little Johnny was willing to give his life to his sister. Jesus was willing to give his life to all of us. Jesus was willing to shed his blood and to give his body to the beatings and the whippings and the stripes and the bruises that should have been given upon us so that we can be saved. So that we can experience the peace of heart and mind and the reconciliation not only with man but with God. And thus, as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he chose words of instruction that he shared with them right there around that table on that Thursday night before his sacrifice. Words that would let us know that we are commemorating the sacrifice of the ages. It was Jesus who, the Bible says, took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. It's a time of commemoration. In this service, we remember the sacrifice of Christ and the price that our salvation cost him. Some have wondered and questioned about the emblems themselves. We recognize that it is a commemoration of sacrifice. It is not itself a sacrifice. The Bible says that Jesus died once for all. And though in some faith communities the doctrine of transubstantiation, or the doctrine that teaches that here at the table of the Lord, the bread becomes the literal body of Christ and the juice becomes the literal blood of Christ, this doctrine is not substantiated in Scripture. It's not backed up in Scripture. But Jesus tells us that what is scriptural about the commemoration is that this bread, this juice, becomes a symbol of what has taken place, a symbol of what we have been given. And so today, when the little piece of bread or the sip of juice touches your lips and enters your mouth, it is not something that is the literal blood and body of Christ, but it is a symbol that we use as Christians, instituted by Christ himself, so that we could remember what he has given. The Lord's Supper is a time of self-examination. The Lord's Supper is a commemoration. And the Lord's Supper is a proclamation. Paul told us in the text that was read for our scripture just a little while ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. It says, therefore, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And that is to say, we are proclaimers of the gospel by sharing in the Lord's Supper. Now, when you take your Bibles, I have just quoted to you that passage from 1 Corinthians 11, 26 from the King James Version. However, in my study this week, I compared 15 Bible translations on this text. And in this passage, there are only three of those 15 English translations that use the word show, that we show his death until he comes. And so apart from those three, there are 12 of the 15 that I compared with that use another word. The word here, show, comes from an original Greek word that has a meaning beyond simply taking and visually seeing something. Because that's not actually what we're doing. The word show perhaps is not the greatest word in translation, because how are we showing the death of the Lord? We're seeing something that represents the sacrifice, but the death of the Lord is not really, truly, visually shown in every sense of that term. But the word in the original Greek language means to proclaim, to announce, and to make known. And so that is indeed what we do when we come and we share. As Paul says, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show. That is, you do announce, you do proclaim, you do make known the Lord's death until he comes. By lifting that little piece of bread or that little cup of new wine to our mouths, we are preaching a sermon. By chewing and swallowing these emblems of Christ's sacrifice, we are proclaiming the gospel. We declare by action the acceptance that we have made of Christ's sacrifice. We declare our faith and our trust in his provisions for our salvation. We let the onlooking congregation of believers know that we have accepted the great plan that Jesus has put forth for us, and we are trusting ourselves to him in that plan. It's a proclamation. It's an announcement. It is truly making known the sacrifice, the gift of Christ. The Lord's Supper, fourthly, is a time of anticipation and expectation. The same passage that we've just been discussing, that we read in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, speaks to us about this great expectation and anticipation that we as Christians have. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. The Bible says that the coming of Jesus is the Christian's blessed hope in Titus 2:13. And while proclaiming his death and sharing our belief in the gospel by participating in the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the fact that we are also looking forward to something in faith. You see, truly the communion service, the Lord's Supper, is a commemoration. That is a look back to what Christ has given. But it is for us in faith a looking forward. It is for us an anticipation and an expectation of Christ's second coming. Jesus gave this ordinance to his disciples. Jesus gave this ordinance as a reminder to us of the wonderful fact. And so when you and I gather as believers in Jesus and we are here around the table of the Lord, this service, the act of receiving and taking this bread and this juice, becomes a bridge of sorts from the time of Christ our sacrifice to the time of Christ, our coming King. Something, this service, this ordinance that Christ has given is almost as if there are two arms, one that reaches back and holds the time of his sacrifice and one that reaches forward to the time of his coming and bridges the two events together, because in this participation, you declare your faith and your trust in both of the promises of Jesus. A commemoration, a proclamation. And for us today, a time of expectation. Jesus says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again with you until I drink it in the kingdom of God when it shall come. Luke 22:18. One of these days, Jesus is going to return. And by his grace, we are going to see him. We're going to see that kingdom. We're going to partake of the fruit of the vine together with him in person. And if you think that it's special, and it most certainly is, to come as a congregation and gather around this table together, then just try to imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus puts the cup in your hand. And you are there with the one who that cup represented. You are there with the one whose blood was shed and spilled for you to give you the forgiveness of sin and the salvation which you now, at that point in time, will be experiencing. This Lord's Supper is a time of self-examination, a commemoration of what Christ has done, a proclamation of our faith and our belief, and a time of anticipation and expectation for his return. And in light of all of those things, the fifth and final point of what the Lord's Supper is that it is a time of celebration and thanksgiving. Scripture tells us that on that Thursday evening there in the upper room of that home in the city of Jerusalem, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. It was there as he ate the evening meal with his disciples, and that he then took the bread and the juice, the wine of the cup, and gave them to his disciples. Before they all partook together, the Bible says he lifted his eyes and gave thanks. And we see it recorded in each of the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew records it this way, and he took the cup and gave thanks, and then gave it to them. Luke records another moment of thanks this way, when it says that he took bread and gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them. The giving of thanks is something that is brought together with this service of remembrance, with this service of commemoration, with this service of expectation. We give thanks. The service is a time for us. The Lord's Supper is a time when our hearts go out in great gratitude for all that God has done in our lives. We thank him because he died for us. We thank him because he rose for us. He intercedes for us today and the promise that he will come again to take us home. We thank him for his love, and we thank him for his mercy. We thank him for his grace. We thank him for protecting us, for guiding us, for teaching us. And truly, we have many things that God has given to be thankful for. And this service, the Lord's Supper, is a time for thanksgiving and celebration of what Christ has done in your life personally. And that's why the service is a service of renewal, a service of renewed commitment, renewed decision. Individual Christians, as well as the congregation at large, is able to make. The Lord's Supper is a time of self-examination. It's a time of self-examination. Looking within. Finding out if there's anything that separates my heart from God. My heart from my brother or my sister. It's a time of commemoration. when we look back and remember what Christ has given for me personally. It's a time of proclamation where I, believing what he has done, am able to testify in the presence of believers that I accept the gift, that I accept his pledge and promise of new life. It's a time of anticipation and expectation because I, having claimed the promise by faith, having received the gift of life, look forward to the time when the life giver will return and will take his children home. And because it is all of those things, it is for us in the present moment thanksgiving and celebration. And as we celebrate, we recognize that we celebrate everything that the cross of Jesus has enabled to be possible. A Nigerian missionary traveled to attend a communion service which local residents from four regional towns were all attending. And as he arrived before the service, a little early to lead that service, he heard one of the Africans addressing the crowded church in a preparation meeting. You see, they had come early to have a conversation about their sharing together. And the missionary heard these words, and I quote, the African said, "I cannot tell you the gladness that is in my heart today. As I walked along the path with the other members from my community, I saw that each man had in his hand his Bible and his hymn book. No man carried a knife. No man carried a gun. No man walked with fear. Every man walked only in his faith in God. And yet it is but 4 years ago that no man from my town would have ever walked through your town without a knife in his hand. And even then he would not have walked alone. Nor would any man from your town have walked unarmed through ours. What is the reason for this difference today? At that time, we worshipped the gods as you did. Today, we worship the same God as you do and have known him to be the God of peace. We have learned that he is our Father and that we are all brothers." You see, truly that is what the communion service, what the Lord's Supper really is. It's a time when we come together laying down the warfare of the past, laying down the ways of life of the past, acknowledge God as our Father and embrace our brethren in Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 these words, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, that he might reconcile them to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers, you are no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." The cross of Jesus is able to bring reconciliation. And truly, that is what the Lord's Supper is all about. It is the time of self-examination. It is the time of commemoration and proclamation. It is a time of anticipation and expectation, and a time of celebration and thanksgiving. And through it all, it becomes the perfect time of reconciliation between God and his children, between men and women who seek to follow Jesus Christ. And so today, as we share, as we celebrate, as we proclaim, as we anticipate, as we commemorate, and as we look within in self-examination, let us thank and praise God until the thanksgiving of time blends with the thanksgiving of eternity. And then by his grace, we will join the great company of the redeemed from all ages, from all peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues, who will say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Today, in Christ Jesus, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to one another. And may the Lord's Supper be for you the blessing, everything of the blessing that God has intended it to be. Let us pray. Holy Father, we come thanking you for this service. What we are about to share has been given from the very mind and the heart of God. And Father, you knew it was the perfect plan. It was the perfect way for us to remember, to join together, to fellowship, to celebrate, to be in thanksgiving, to look forward to the time of Jesus coming. And so, Lord, because we do that individually and now we come together as individuals into one body, we pray that you would bring us together in perfect reconciliation. And nothing would stand between us and you, and nothing would stand between us and ourselves here in this congregation today. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for thinking of us. We thank you for giving all for us, being willing to let that last drop of blood go from your body and from your life so that we may live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.